I've probably never felt more certain of a word for the Lord than I do this Sunday in the midst of where we are at. And I'm very thankful for our community leaders and our medical leadership in our community. I'm thankful for the precautionary measures they are taking. It's wise and good that we do those things. And I believe that the Lord will use those actions. But I also know that in the end, the authority and the hope and the trust that all of us need is from the Lord, and that we need to hear His word in our midst. And so I'm going to encourage you to take a look at this handout, and if you don't have one, feel free to go back and get another one too. But I wanted to write out this scripture for you this morning, and I want you to hear this situation in Mark 6. The Lord, I tell you what, just Lord, what's the word for this time? And the Lord just directly brought me to this passage and this circumstance. And I believe we have the same call the disciples of this passage have. And in all of it, for us to know that Jesus is absolutely greater. He's absolutely greater. And so I want us to look at this together. Would you just reverence the word of God in your heart and in your mind? And would you let this word be more important than anything else you've heard in the news in the past week? So with that reverence, let's hear this word. Mark 6, Jesus said to the disciples, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So the disciples went away by themselves in the boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. And when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were sheep without a shepherd. So true about our community right now. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But Jesus answered them, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces of bread and fish, and the number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we are the disciples in the face of overwhelming need. Speak to us today by your Holy Spirit. Show us that not only are you greater, and not only will we get through, but Lord, you want to do something that shakes the earth for your glory and honor and for people's blessing. And we thank you that we hear your word today. In Christ's name we pray, and everyone said, amen. These disciples are very much like us. You can't get away from the need right now. You can't get away from the bad news. You can't get away that there's a problem. The disciples are tired, and Jesus says, "Let's get away." And instead of getting away, all they do is run into more need, more urgency. And today, you can't look on the news and not get more worry. When you try to find peace, you can't run to your ESPN app and find a good game. You can't go and look at the things that usually distract you. Everything's pointing to that there's a need, that there's a really big need. And we can feel a lot like the disciples who are just trying to get away from it. Just trying to say, well, I just want to make sure I'm okay and I just want to feel peace by ourselves. And in this time, it's just so easy to see that all our comforts and our distractions and our entertainment, they're not the source of real peace, are they? And they don't have strength to give us real peace in times like this. And we're like the disciples who just can't seem to get away. Jesus, I just want to get away and feel better and not think about things for a little bit. And no, that's not where we're at right now. And we're tempted to have the same response that the disciples have. Wow, Jesus, there's a big need out there, and there are lots of people who need lots of things, and they should go someplace and get help. God, there should be somebody who should help them. You know, that's kind of our initial response too. I was talking with my wife, and you know, at first when you hear these things, all you can do is start thinking about yourself and what are you going to do, but all of a sudden you recognize that, wait a minute, there's something more. I'm with Jesus. And maybe in my initial thoughts of, boy, someone should do something about this and someone should help those people. And boy, I sure hope we get a piece of news that will make a difference and someone else should bring that piece of news. You start recognizing that maybe Jesus has a different response for us. You see, the world, when it comes into need, when its comforts and its scaffolding gets shaken and broken, it runs to self-preservation. But God's people run to serving and run into peace. It's always been the history of God's church and the history of those who don't have him to trust in. They run to the grocery store and they grab everything they can and they close ranks and precautions are proper and good. But there's a difference between doing and making some precautions and having a spirit of fear. You see, Jesus shocks the disciples with a different response. He says, "No, disciples, I think you've got an answer." Well, boy, I sure hope the next time on the news we hear it's gone down, and I sure hope that people see on the news that it's actually getting a little better. And Jesus says, "No, disciples, I think you've got the news people need to hear. I think it's actually you that has the answer." And we can be like those first disciples, because what happens is we forget who we're with and we forget what we've been praying for. The disciples have seen Jesus do miracles. You and I have seen Jesus do miracles. And yet in this moment, as the next piece of news and the next piece of news and the next piece of news tell us more and more that it's bad, be worried, be worried. And again, take precautions and be wise. But we forget who we're with. We forget whose we are. We forget that Jesus had said we were going to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. And we forget what we've been praying. We forget that we've been praying, God, use us. God, this world, they're so distracted with their sports and with their entertainment, and they're so distracted with the way their economy makes them feel like they have no need and all these things. And we forget that we've been praying. God, use us. God, help us. Help somebody else know you. Help this nation return to you. Help us to acknowledge you. We forget we've been praying that in the shock of news that rattles us some. We're kind of like the old joke about the person who didn't realize God answers for prayer. You've heard it before. There's a family. There's a flood in their neighborhood. It's going higher and higher. They're on the rooftop of their house, and the dad prays, God, save us. And pretty soon, a bunch of jet skis come on by and say, "Hey, you can hop on." And he says, no. We're God's going to save us. Thanks." And they go off, and then the rivers get a little higher. The rivers get higher. You know, for sake of the pleasantness of this illustration, let's just make it one guy on the roof, okay? I was just thinking about that. you know, the helicopter comes by and hey, take the line. Like, no, thanks. God's going to save us. Well, now the water's up on the roof and it's getting pretty high and a boat comes by. Come on, get on in. He's like, no, God's going to save me. And of course, he goes to heaven. Say that as nicely as possible. And says, God, why haven't you saved me? You know, I prayed, I believed, and God said what? Well, what do you think the jet ski and the helicopter and the boat were for? Well, likewise, I think we've prayed, God, help my neighbor to know you. And then we hear the news of a coronavirus. And then we hear that schools are shut down and some people might struggle with work. And we pray again, God, but still, somehow help me to use me to know you. And we do nothing. And then we find out that some people are sick or really scared. And instead of doing anything, we're still thinking about ourselves and saying, but God, help me to reach somebody else for you. And God's saying, here are your opportunities. Now, I'm not saying God's sending the coronavirus, but I'm saying we're missing what we've been praying for the entire time. Because, you see, God is an ever-present help in time of need. He is our rock, our refuge. He has made promises to us. We will be provided for. There will be daily bread. We are going to be watched over. We need to turn our ear back to the one we're with. And we need to remember what we've been praying for. Because I believe this is a time for the difference of what Christianity is supposed to be. The difference of what peace from God comes from. So often we struggle in a world that's so much about entertainment and about ease. And we try to tell them about Jesus. And we're like, we're trying to compete with the clubs they're in and the associations. And now we're in a time when all those things have no power, and here we stand. And we have opportunity to share good news. We have opportunity to share the news that makes an eternal difference. You know, in the history of the church, it's always been in the midst of times of tragedy or difficulty that the world noted what Christ was all about. In the early Roman church, after the plague of 262 AD, Roman Emperor Julian attempted to curb the growth of Christianity by leading a campaign to establish pagan charities that mirrored the work of Christians during the plague. He blamed the recent growth of Christianity on their, quote, benevolence to strangers, their care for the sick, and even the graves of the dead. Elsewhere, he would write, for it is a disgrace that these Galileans support not only their own poor, but ours as well. It's in times like this that we become the light that draws men and women to him. And not only do we answer the needs of now, but we change people's eternities. We are called because the disciples, they hear Jesus knowing that, hey, you've got an answer. You've got a source of peace that no amount of checking the news is going to provide. And it's yours to give. And Jesus gives them the same strategy that he gives us today. When there's such a mass, when there's so many, what's the answer? Do like Jesus did for the first disciples. Don't try to reach everybody. Find a group. Find a group of people. Get a group of people together. Find a group that you can reach. And then do what the disciples did. And I want to encourage you in this time where it's mass this and states and nations. And I want to encourage you every day this in the next 14 days. Five people every day. A group of five people, a new group of five people, every day, to give what Jesus has given you to them. Because we can do what Jesus did in the midst of in our group, we can do what Jesus did in the midst of all those groups. I love these words in verse 41. Jesus takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. He looks up to heaven. He gives thanks, and he breaks the loaves. And then he says, now give it to everybody else. I want to encourage you. We're going to call the church to 14 days of prayer again, starting today. As our society is taking 2 weeks and saying something's got to change, as our society is taking 2 weeks and saying we need answers, we need to see things get better, I think we as God's people need to take the next 2 weeks and dedicate it to prayer. And the next 2 weeks, we need to say every day, God, give me a group of 5. Doesn't mean they're all in the same spot. It might be this person, that person, that person. A group of 5 every day, Lord. And Lord, for them, what I want them to see me doing, I want you to hear this. While they're looking at their phone, while they're looking at the news, I want them to see me looking up to heaven. I want them to see me looking up to heaven. And while what they're reading and hearing is another bad, I want them to hear me give thanks. God, thank you that you're with my friend. Thank you that you're with my coworker. Thank you that you're going to watch over my neighbor. Thank you that you're with my family member. And then you're going to break the bread of God's word. You're going to give them a passage. You're going to give them something to think about that the world's not giving them. That's what we're called to do. 5 people every day. You're looking there. You're looking to them. I'm not saying it's wrong to get good information. But no, the place I'm looking, pray first. The place I'm looking first, I want you to see me looking at heaven. And I want you to hear me giving thanks for what I know God is going to do and who he is. And I want to give you a thought that the world's not going to give you today. If we could do that, then I'm telling you what, the same result of Mark 6 is going to happen in our midst. And we're not going to be people that hear about God doing great things. We're going to be people that see God do great things. Because when you find your group and when you look to heaven for them and you give thanks and you share the bread that only comes from heaven, all are satisfied. And not only are all satisfied, but there is more than when you started. More for you, more for your family, more as one who loves and follows Christ. And not only is there more, but thousands are reached. It would be a conservative guess that if you include women and children, it would be reasonable to say there's at least 12,000 people there. That means every disciple is impacting 1,000 people. Over the next 14 days, 5 people every day, looking to heaven, giving thanks, sharing the word, I believe we could see the same exact miracle. Same exact miracle. It's not much. It's not a stretch. And I want you to hear this. We're in the middle of prayer yesterday morning here, and we were praying over our community, and the Lord reminded me, it's in your notes on the side, of Numbers 16, when the plague was breaking out in the community of God's people. And Moses tells, and this is important, who he tells. He tells the high priest. That's important. He tells the high priest, take the censer and put incense in it, along with fire from the altar, and hurry to the assembly to make atonement for them. Because the plague started. Moses tells the high priest, get some fire from the altar. Incense was always a symbol of prayer. get some prayers, and I want you to go in the middle of the community, and I want you to stop what's spreading. And I believe there's power for us to stop in fear. There's power for us as God's people to stop the very physical illness. Notice what happens, number 16. So Aaron did as Moses said and ran into the midst of the assembly. We're going to do it with social distancing. We'll be 6 feet away from anybody. The plague had already started among the people, but Aaron offered the incense and made atonement for them. I want you to hear this. He stood between the living and the dead, and the plague stopped. I really believe that that's God's call for us. I believe we're, and again, precautions, wisdom, cooperating with the community is doing, absolutely. But I want to tell you that while we're thinking, dear Jesus, somebody else should help these people, Jesus is saying, you've got the answer. And I'm picturing people walking around schools. I'm going to go on a prayer walk in my neighborhood today, and I'm going to do this. I'm going to take some fire from the altar, right? I'm going to take some prayers. I'm going to go in my neighborhood. I'm going to go walk my neighborhood today. Say, Lord, would you spare us and watch over us? Would you cast out fear from people? Lord, if anybody's in a place of hunger or their employment's being threatened, would you begin to provide right now? Lord, would you begin to stop the effects of all these things? This is what God calls us to do. Ezekiel 22:30, I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I would not destroy it. Friends, that's us. Everybody at home, that's you today to take that walk. I would like to be able to tell all of our principals where you remember we took an offering so we'd have kind of an emergency fund for every school. I'm in the process of communicating with every one of our schools. I've already talked to the superintendent and others saying food needs that are going on. Do you need volunteers? What do you need right now? And I want to be able to tell them, hey, somebody from our church is going to walk around your school and pray for it in these 14 days. Someone's going to be declaring that that's not going to happen there. And so we'll organize that. You'll hear more about that. But I want you to hear it. It really is our time. It's our time for this to happen. And we can finish with more than what we started for. With. We've started this time busy and stretched and pushed. And all of a sudden, we're going to have a lot more family time coming up. And maybe God will help us get a basket full of what's most important in life again, because some other things have been pushing us the way they shouldn't. All of our idols, they're locked down and they're closed down, and we're not watching our sports, and we're not, you know, Disney's shut down and we can't go. And maybe there's a basket full of peace that we've never had before that we can have during these 14 days, because we've always let all these other things distract us. Maybe God will help us to rediscover compassion, and we'll get a basket full of compassion back in our lives, because to be honest, there's not a day that goes by that thousands of people aren't facing death in our community. But most of the time, we don't even give them any mind. And now all of a sudden, we're in this scenario, and now we're thinking about it. Maybe we started with a little compassion. Maybe it's time to get a basket full back. Maybe it's time to let, maybe our community, it's so frail and it's so full of stereotypes and prejudice, and maybe we'll get a basket full of equality back in our lives, because all of a sudden the virus doesn't care what skin color you are, how much money you make, what political party you vote for. Maybe there's time for starting with just a little bit of dignity and equality in our eyes, and maybe it's time to recognize that we're all frail and we all need Jesus. And we really don't have enemies. We just have people who are trapped by the enemy. Maybe we could get a basket full back. We've only had a little when this all started. And most of all, maybe there'll be a move of people to come back to Christ and get a basket full, a harvest full of people who say, I know in whom I have believed, and I know he is able, and I know he's faithful. One writer says this. He says, in a sense, the most important question during this time is not, what hope do you have in the face of the coronavirus? I say that because Jesus came to warn us of a presence of a far more lethal and widespread virus, one that has struck every man, woman, and child in history, a virus that ends in not only certain death, but eternal death. Our species, according to Jesus, lives in the grip of a pandemic outbreak called sin and selfishness. And maybe the most important question is, what is your hope in the face of that virus? The story of the Bible is that a story of a God who entered a world infected with this virus. He lived among sick people, not wearing a chemical protective suit, but breathing the same air as we do, eating the same food as we do. He died in isolation, excluded from his people, seemingly far from his Father on a cross, all that he might provide the sick world with an antidote to the virus, that he might heal us and give us eternal life. He's the one who said, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. I want to call us in these 14 days of prayer that every day we would share with five people two things. We'd be looking up to heaven, we'd be praying, and we just make sure they would know, one, they're not alone. Social distancing is fine, but not relational distancing. No, people still need people. I want to encourage you to tell people they're not alone. You do it by showing. You do it by reaching out. I want to encourage you to let them know Jesus is greater, and I want to encourage you, don't just say God, say Jesus. Let them know who the Prince of Peace is during this time. They don't got to believe it. They don't have to decide whether they want to hear it. You just love on them. Love on them well. And I want to encourage you, if you look at the back of your sermon handout, both our churches in our greater Richmond area, as well as some things the Lord put on my heart, are here. And I want to invite you to find some ways. This is a place you could find your five people. Every day. I want to encourage you, would you, and we'll get some words out, but would you be willing to prayer walk a school? Say, hey, we'll go do that. We're going to go declare. We're going to stand in the gap for that school. Would you prayer walk your neighborhood? Probably a few times in the next 2 weeks. Bring your family. By the way, when you prayer walk, you don't close your eyes and run into trees. You actually just, you keep your eyes open and you look at each other and you just talk to each other. Say, Lord, just, yeah. And when someone comes by, you actually stop and you just talk to them. Would you send an encouraging text? Number four. Do you know someone who's struggling with anxiety? Maybe that's a person to encourage. Do you? Number five, we know our older population is most vulnerable, and maybe there's some people to check in, and you can arrange for food to be dropped off or a meal to be provided. Church, now's the time. Maybe there's a friend, a neighbor, who's going to have to go to work, and now their kids are not at school, and you got some kids, and you could say, hey, they could come over and hang out with us for a day. Then you know, well, you'll know how to pray for them a lot more after that day. There are people at nursing homes that are going to be not able to have visitors. Maybe a card, maybe a text, maybe a call is going to be like God speaking to them. And most of all, would you just share the good news of John 16:33, that Jesus is greater. In this world, you will have trouble. I want you to remember that the gospel says that Jesus is Savior, he's healer, he's sanctifier, he's his baptizer in the Holy Spirit, he's soon coming King. He's Savior. He saves us from sin and selfishness. We don't have to go and buy 10,000 of anything at the store right now. God's going to provide for us. We can have peace in the midst of that. He is the healer, which means he can overcome any sickness. And the Gospels are full of moments that Jesus touched people no one else touched and healed them. He is sanctifier. And you know, that means to be set apart. In this world, if you're part of this world, you're in confusion and chaos right now. The sanctifier can bring you peace and order. You can be set apart from it if you want to this morning. He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. If you're feeling anxiety and fear, he can fill you with a different spirit. And he's soon coming King. It doesn't matter if there's injustice in any way, shape, or form. The King can bring you justice. Jesus is greater, and he's greater right now. And he's greater for all those who are only getting bad news. We have good news for them. And I'm telling you, the one who said this is the one who's with us right now. For all of our families at home, he's in your home right now. And when you walk and pray, he's going to walk with you. Church, this is an important time for us. Let's not forget who we're with. And let's not forget not only what we've been praying for, but what Jesus himself prayed. He said, he prayed. He told us to pray for workers to go into the harvest field. Welcome to it. It's all around us. We can use all the guidelines and the recommendations, and we can do all these things with power in the next 14 days. We're also going to, later today, put on our website a Zoom link. And what we're going to do is at 8 a.m. Monday through Friday, we're going to have corporate prayer through that Zoom link. And we want to encourage all of you to come on and jump on every day. We're still going to have prayer here at the church on Saturday from 9 to 10. Obviously, if our government indicates something more that we need to do, we'll work with them to do what is right there. But what we're going to do is we're going to pray every day. We're going to get in the gap. And then when you go to work, maybe you should go to work 20 minutes earlier tomorrow morning. And maybe you should take a moment and walk around that work building. And maybe if you're lucky, someone will see you do it. And say, I just was praying for us. And maybe God will show you an email to send all your coworkers, say, hey, praying for you today. Maybe God will show you someone to touch need. Five people every day, two things. You're not alone, and Jesus is greater. So I'm just going to ask now in the presence of God, and I'm asking this even at your home, if you'd be willing to stay this morning. Jesus, I hear your call. And I started out as one of those disciples that said, Jesus, you should go get someone to help these people. Now I'm recognizing who I'm supposed to be. And I'm willing to look to heaven and to give thanks and to share the bread. I'm going to ask as we prepare for one more moment of worship, if that's you today, both at home and here, I'm going to ask you in the presence of God if you'd stand and say, I'm willing to stand these 14 days in the gap in wherever you want me to be. If that's you, would you make that decision now? And Pastor Brandon, would you lead us in a final moment of worship?